Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the captain abroad,
yes.
Jack Berry. Jack, my friend,
as always.
You are you're a traveling man today.
I am. I was telling Josh that I was channeling my inner enlisted soldier today because yeah. Enterprise decided to bestow upon me the elusive Dodge Charger for some reason. Like, I did not ask for a Dodge Charger. They gave me a Dodge Charger, and I feel like what should have came with it too is like a 30% interest rate as well.
Yeah, which you immediately Marco'd me cranking Guns N' Roses.
Exactly.
And you're like, Josh, I'm going full vet mode. I've gone full vet mode. Yeah.
I'm pretty
What's
sure.
What's the over-under on you getting back and buying a Dodge Charger now? it's kind of a nice car, though. You had to admit.
Okay. The thing about a Dodge Charger is this.
Okay.
If you are on a straightaway and you're wanting to get on the freeway fast,
yeah,
you don't really need to push the pedal very hard on a Dodge Charger to make that thing go to 70 miles an hour within 5 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
Just saying, just throwing it out there, people.
It makes me really happy. Just the mental image of you in a Dodge Charger hating that you love it.
Because
there's a little,
is. I do. Yep. I'm not going to lie on that one, people.
Yep.
Not lying
I started listening to Five Finger Death Punch. She's like, you know, Nickelback's not that bad, if we're all going to be honest. Can we be honest? Oh, I love it, dude. I love it. Well, you're, how did the, and then Jack Markwood me and goes, dude, this whole meeting, the whole reason I'm in Spokane, this is just a bust. This is awful. This is a waste of time.
It was
so
probably,
he's like, let's record so I can go. Let's record so I can go get Chili's.
Yeah, pretty much. This wasn't the worst time that I've been to an event. But it was subpar. Let's just put it that way.
Let's just throw it there. Yeah. All right, Jack. Well, we got stuff to get to, man. But before we do, new month, new cigar reviews, my friend. Reformatory Cigar of the Week, 1st of June. What do you got for us?
All right. June, I've been debating this. I've tried to think about brands. I've tried to think about other things cigar related. And you know what? I'm just going, June is for Jalapa.
Dude, I was wondering if you were going to go Jalapa.
June is for Jalapa, people. Okay, so the Jalapa Valley is one of the main growing areas in Nicaragua where a lot of tobacco comes from, that's in your Nicaraguan cigars. And so I'm going, this is kind of interesting because the cigar that I chose is not something normally the brand that we would go with, but right. I think it's right up our alley as far as the, I've smoked this before in different sizings and it holds up. Not, I would say it's not a boutique cigar, but I will say the flavor holds up and the pricing holds up, and definitely your, the ratings are holding up on it as well. And so, so to start off, June is for Jalapa. You're starting off with the Diesel. Diesel is the cigar brand. The Diesel, it's called the Whiskey Row. Basically, it's the Diesel Whiskey Row. So this is a two-part.
Interesting.
This is a two-part version of this cigar. The first version of the cigar is more on the lighter side. The second version of this cigar is a little bit different in the fact that the difference in the way that this tobacco is aged is using whiskey barrels or bourbon barrels, if you will. Okay. But it uses a blend of Jalapa tobacco in that filler blend.
Yeah.
And on top of that, dude, this, okay, here's the breakdown. An Ecuadorian Habano wrapper.
Yep.
Okay. And then the filler is three different tobaccos from the Otempe, the Contiga, and then the Jalapa regions of Nicaragua.
Okay.
Then it's not done. And then you have a Mexican San Andreas binder to it.
Huh.
This is a very complex cigar. And I like all it. Of these, all of these are aged in Kentucky based rabbit hole bourbon barrels.
Okay. Which for those who don't know is also how Reformed Baptist babies are born.
this was made, this cigar was made by shocker AJ Fernandez.
All right.
So he's the one that blended all this together, right? I primarily want to focus in on the Churchill blend.
Okay.
So the Churchill blend is the same things that I just talked about, but I'm gonna ask Josh. Josh, what do you think the MSRP is on a rabbit hole Diesel Whiskey Row cigar? This is a very big mouthful. That's so in the Churchill sizing.
Diesels normally aren't that expensive, but if you're going the whiskey barrel Churchills are a little larger. So I'm going to go on this one. I still think it's going to be less than your average Churchill because you can get diesel boxes for actually pretty cheap. So for the Churchill, I am going to say $9.50.
You're on the low end. You're on the
am I on the low end?
You're actually right in the spectrum of the low end of the MSRP. So the low end of it is $9.50.
Dude, let's go. Let's
the
go.
I'm on it today. The high end is $11. $11 for a Churchill tobacco.
Yeah.
And it being whiskey kind of aged and everything like that. It's a real, honestly, this is a really good cigar. I really like the cigar. And then there is also a cherry cask version of the cigar with like a Maduro wrapper.
Which is how Anglicans
So are. It gets, dude, it gets even more. It gets even more complex.
I think this
cigar and then the cherry cask version of the cigar, very good cigars. Junis for Jalapa, Diesel Whiskey Row, Churchill sizing. There you go, people.
I'm excited for this. Nice job, Jack. As always, dude, bringing the heat, bringing the Jalapa, bringing the Enfuego. I love it. Thank you, my friends. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the Reformatory Cigar of the week. And you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So it's another ep with another Jack topic. All right. So I'm on vacation. This last week. Got back yesterday. Right. I'm in Arizona, sweating like crazy. It was not a single day was under 105. It was so hot. It was hot, but it was good. And Jack Margo's me. And I'm in like the hotel, like comatose from 12 hours of driving. And he's like, dude, I've got today's topic. Or I've got tomorrow's topic. So, Jack, I'm going to throw it over to you, my friend. What are we talking about today? Because it sounds a little crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So most of my ideas, here's what I do. I really, you know, some people on social media, they mute people. Mm-hmm. They filter things down. Mm-hmm. I feel like I kind of have to leave the crazies out there because this is why we do content. What we do.
It's content. It's free content. It's that meme. Just it's free content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So there was a guy that was actually Mark Driscoll's assistant who is now a pastor out in Pittsburgh. He has not denounced Mark at all. He's not said anything about Mark. And he's kind of taking this brand that Mark does and he's kind of elevating it and he's saying some crazy stuff. So what he said is basically,
well, and what's his name? Cause he's on Twitter. This is public.
Yeah. Frank Park.
That's right. That's right. Frank Park. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you go even on his Facebook where I originally saw this video, he basically said this. He said, if you are a pastor in 2024 and you are not getting hate mail, you are doing something wrong.
I love blanket statements. They're one of my favorite things.
I know, right? Like,
yeah.
And then he said some other things that I completely kind of disagree with as well, like saying like our politics have, or something along the lines of like the dynamic between our politics have become more theological. And I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. Something along those lines. Anyway, I focus in on that, like the fact that you would get hate mail or the fact that you don't get hate mail means that apparently you're doing something wrong. You need to get hate mail. Josh, as an elder in the local church, how many times have you gotten hate mail? And how many times are you then wrong because you haven't gotten hate mail?
The only hate mail I've gotten is from like other pastors. No, I'm kidding. No, I can honestly say, here's the thing, man. Like, being a Christian in the Pacific Northwest is not a popular thing.
Yeah.
Being a Reformed Christian in the Pacific Northwest is even less popular. And I can say that I have never gotten hate mail. I just haven't. Right. It's not something that I've received. And I've preached many things that should and could get hate mail. This podcast has gotten more hate than my ministry tenure. Right.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I understand what he's saying in that you need to be countercultural in your preaching. You need to be countercultural in your ministry. You can't go with the flow and be accepting of what's happening in the culture. Like, I understand that. And whether or not he means you need physical hate mail, like you better have emails, you better show me receipts, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not he means that, I don't know. It could be a tongue in cheek, a tongue in cheek reference that he doesn't mean literal hate mail. Although, if he's a Mark Driscoll guy, he probably, like, hate mail is kind of like little hate mail. Okay. Hate mail to Mars Hill guys are like the patches for Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
That's what they are. It's like, I got my service patch. I got my angry email patch. I got my, you know, crazy stalker patch. Right. You know, they collect them like jewels, right? Like gnomes collect jewels.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, I understand what he's saying, but my problem with this is that this mentality leads to, I think, a big problem that we're seeing in Christian culture today, especially in Reformed culture, and that is a tendency toward the desire for a fight, instead of being willing to fight. And those are two very different things.
Yeah.
I am very willing to fight for what I know is true. And there have been times where I've had to do that. But there's a difference between being willing, ready, and able.
Yeah.
And desiring it.
Yeah.
right? And I think this type of mentality that I forgot his name already. What's
Frank.
His name?
Frank.
Frank. That Frank is espousing here is revealing a tendency and a danger that a lot of Christians are facing right now as they are attempting to live in a culture that is very anti-Christian. Like we just hopped into Pride Month, right? And it's just a testament of how far we have gone from the Word of God as our standard of truth, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, like you're living in a hostile environment, right? But our motives still matter, right? So
yeah,
I've never received hate mail. And maybe it's just a PNW thing. Maybe there's churches down south that are getting a bunch of hate mail. You know, that might be true. But hate mail is something I'm ready for, and it's something that I'll take, but it's not something that I am using as a barometer of faithfulness, right? Yeah. And that's kind of my problem with the mentality.
Yeah, and I think there's also a category. Like, what do you mean by hate mail? Do you mean an email? Yeah. What do you mean? Do you mean that... because I've had situations, I wouldn't call it hate mail, but I've had situations where there had to be rebuke and it had to be in private first.
Yeah.
And it had to be in a very counseling way. And I've had people involved in that rebuke call me up and say that I was wrong for that rebuke, even though I was operating out of... the pastors of that church wanting to rebuke that person, you know, and bring them into a standing to where they seek after repentance. Right.
Right.
So if it's, and it depends on what that means, because that there was one person that was a church member involved in that rebuke. And there was another person that wasn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it does hate mail involve your members bucking back against you and against what the church is trying to go towards.
Sure.
Or, you know, this can just...
I mean, it can, right? I mean, I would consider hate mail, you know, if we're using that term, again, it's kind of a juvenile term in my opinion, but hate mail can be like any type of negative response to following what scripture tells you to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and sure, that could be mail, that could be phone calls, that could be emails, that could be in person. Right. It could include all of it. Right.
Yeah. And I think that part of what he was saying, because he followed that up with talking about pride and stuff like that. So if he, and I think it's the way in which, like, who, first of all, who are you preaching to on an average Lord's Day?
Right.
Are you preaching to members in the church and some attenders? Like, who are you preaching to?
Yeah,
because I think that sets up why you would get quote unquote hate mail in the first place. If it's an attender of your church and they're not a Christian, mm-hmm. like what do we really expect here?
Yeah.
To be honest, we're happy to have them and happy that they want to listen to the gospel and listen to scripture and listen to us expound upon scripture. But there's really no. How can I say this? There's no expectation for me and that person at that point.
Right.
It's hoping and praying that person comes to Christ. It's hoping and praying that person does something contrary to our natural wantings, which is actually very contrary to what God wants for us. But like, what do you expect then, you know, from an attender that's a non-believer that really, you know, until you get a grasp of where they're at spiritually and where they're going, and if they're desiring and trying to seek after Christ, I feel like there's whole different categories that you could put a situation of quote unquote hate mail in. Now, if you're preaching to your congregation and it's a time where, and I feel like this is very different to in the way I think people were taught at Mars Hill. Mm-hmm. At Mars Hill, if the congregation is failing to do something, you yell at them.
Yeah.
And you make it known that they're messing up.
Right.
And they're screwing up and they're not good enough. Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there is a very different strategy, I feel like, to that versus you are preaching on something and you're pointing out sin and somebody comes up and says, I don't agree with what you just said.
Yeah.
But is that person, we go back to this, the way that we go back to it, almost like this is like intertangling of webs that we've talked about in many different episodes. Is that person a member within your church that basically can be put under church discipline, or they need to maybe be discipled in a certain way?
Yeah.
Or is it just a regular attender who doesn't really have any skin in the game in your local church?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question, because I think it really does. It forces you to ask the question, who are my main constituents when I'm in the local church? Say I'm a pastor and I'm preaching, right? Like, you ask the question, like, who are you preaching to? Right. Yeah. That mentality that Frank, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. That Frank is kind of espousing there. It really gives the idea that you are engaged primarily in a culture war instead of shepherding a church. Okay. Cause here's the thing. If you're preaching to your congregation on a daily basis and you're getting a lot of hate mail from your congregation, one of two things is happening. Either you're faithfully preaching the truth that an unbiblical congregation needs to hear, mm-hmm. and conform to the word of God, or you are way off base.
Yeah.
Right. It's one of the two. Okay. So, and I don't think that's what he means.
Yeah. Okay? I don't think that's what he means either.
So, with this mentality that we talked about kind of at the front of the ep, comes this idea that one of your primary, I would say, callings as a Christian is to be engaged in this culture war, that we need to go to war. Mm-hmm. Right? That the culture is at war with God, so we must go to war with the culture. And look, here's the thing. Again, the culture is a footstool of Christ, our King. Mm-hmm. He's conquered the culture.
Yeah.
What does the psalmist tell? Let the nations rage. Let them plot in vain. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and he scoffs at them, mm-hmm. right? Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters, right? My parents made me memorize that as a kid, and I'm glad they did, because it reminds me the Lord is enthroned in heaven. He does whatever he pleases.
Yeah.
Right? And that theology is lost in this mentality. Mm. We forget Christ is already ruling. He's already King. Mm-hmm. All of this is going to burn when Christ comes back and sets everything right. Right. So my main constituents, when I am preaching, when I am caring for people, it's my congregation. Now, yeah. How do we fight against the culture? How do we push back on the evil that's out there? I think it's by sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. It's the Great Commission. That is your duty to your city. That is your duty to your culture, to be a good citizen and to preach the gospel. That's what you do, right? And if that gives you hate mail, okay. I mean, that's hate mail I'll gladly accept, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to accept hate mail because of how I'm saying something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the frustration I think I have with kind of this, is that it loses the focus on what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. It forgets what I believe is to be the rich and correct theology of the supremacy of Jesus Christ, even over our culture. Mm-hmm. Right? And it creates a mentality within the hearts of men and women that is one of anger and violence versus humility and all the other fruits of the spirit.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't mean that we don't fight. It doesn't mean that we're pacifists. Mm-hmm. Nobody is calling for pacifism here. But the fighting looks different because we're fighting not as people who are trying to win a war, but fighting as people who know the war has already been won.
Yeah.
And that creates a different type of fighting.
Yeah. Right? And then even on top of that, too, like how we fight is very different. Like, I feel like more and more,
right.
I feel like the rhetoric of we need to actually fight against flesh versus fighting against the principalities and the rulers and the authorities in the unseen realms is kind of swept under the rug versus we need to take the fight to X, Y, and Z people. I feel like that rhetoric's starting to amp up a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is not good because that's not biblical.
Right.
Waging a holy war is not biblical. Can we just say that right now? Like, that's not going to solve your problems in America or anywhere that you live in the country. I think also I think it really depends too. It shows a little bit of his cards and what he thinks pastoring is.
Mm-hmm.
Is pastoring me coming up there and truth bombing you?
Yeah.
Until you just get agitated and triggered and frustrated about something. And then you have to respond to me in this way of blowing up or like the true emotions come out of you, so to say. Or is pastoring a very steadied journey in which your pastor is also your spiritual brother? And there is a simultaneous accountability that's happening on the Christian journey in your local church. Yes, your pastors have authority over you as a sheep, as a person of the congregation, as a member of the congregation. But you as a congregant and as a member of that local church also have accountability for that pastor too. Because mm-hmm. that pastor may end up one day maybe failing in certain ways.
Yeah.
So there's mutual accountability. So then you getting hate mail, how like, like I see that there's some telling there of the cards of what they think pastoring is. Is it me just dropping bombs on you, truth bombs on you all the time? And then you're just figuring out what to do with the calamity that happened and the destruction that happened afterwards, or is pastoring a very different thing?
Yeah.
Or then are you getting hate mail because somebody somewhere listened to one of your sermons, a one-off, and they send you a nasty gram?
Sure.
But they're not one of your members.
Right.
They're just some random person somewhere. So it's like, to some degree, you should expect some random person finding your church's page, website, and maybe writing you a nasty gram. But it's like, how much does that happen, to be quite honest? Like, sorry to burst your bubble, but at least in the Pacific Northwest, nobody cares. Okay, like nobody cares.
You can't get anybody to listen to a sermon, much less respond to it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And look, I mean, we got to stop going to the emotional response of the sinful culture as a barometer of faithfulness within the local church. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. Scripture gives us what those barometers of faithfulness are. We don't need to add any more, right? Yeah. This is akin to, pastors within churches adding qualifications to who should be an elder or who should be a deacon based on their own convictions, right? It doesn't make sense and it's not biblical, right? So we can't look to the culture for approval as a means of a barometer for faithfulness. And we can't look to the culture's, rage, because they'll rage about anything and everything. It's a fickle thing. They don't have truth. They don't have a standard of truth, which is scripture, right? So the whole hate mail thing, Jack, it's just, I understand what he's saying. It's a bad barometer. it's kind of a juvenile understanding of how to judge whether something's working or whether something is right or faithful. Because it's easy to do. It's taking an emotion and using it as a standard of truth. And it's just, that's never a good thing.
Yeah. And I think just like the last thing too, that I'll say is like, are we looking for persecution?
Sure.
Like, are sure. we want, yeah, yeah. are like, it goes, it even goes back to,
it's the persecution
saying.
Badge.
Like, are we just looking for a fight? Are we just looking for some persecution?
Right.
And doing it in ways in which we know if I say this, ooh, that's going to press some buttons.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get some clicks and some likes.
Tweet it.
There's complete alternative and ulterior motives from you, quote unquote, trying to get hate mail. Mm-hmm. That's actually not good. That's actually,
for sure,
to a certain degree, is actually kind of breaking the third commandment.
Mm.
Is going into this realm of, are you actually like, what are you doing with your witness right now?
Mm.
Like, are you using the Lord's name in vain just to get clicks, just so that you can offend people, just so that you can do this to like kind of like own the libs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that's another good topic, is the extent and the broadness of the Lord's name in vain and how we can do that.
And tune in next week, people. This might be.
I feel like we've talked about this. Didn't we talk about this?
We have.
Tune in next week. Yeah. But no, dude, I agree with you. Like, it is. It's couching our sinful desire to have a fight and to let our emotions go wild without control. It's couching it in a spiritualism. And it's a lie is what it is. It's hypocritical. And it is a type of using the Lord's name in vain, because we're using his name to justify our sinful behavior. And if we're going to be really honest about it, no, you just want an excuse to go off, and then you can say, well, it was for the gospel, therefore it's sanctioned. We don't get that luxury.
Yeah.
Not as Christians, not as pastors, not as church members. Mm-hmm. We don't get that luxury. We have to be representing Christ every day in every way in our lives. And we don't get to just have the freedom to do what the culture does and respond however the culture wants to. Mm-hmm. Right. That's not a freedom that we have. We are bound to Christ as slaves to righteousness, and we have to do what our master bids us to do. Mm-hmm. And that is to represent Christ well. Right. So no, that doesn't mean actively looking for hate mail. If you get it, okay, sure. Put that badge on your vest. But if you're actively looking for it, I would say that's not a sign of faithfulness. It's a sign of immaturity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Josh, I think Big Eva has sung, sir.
I think she has. I think it's time to get us out of here, my man.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you appreciate Josh and I's pontifications, if you will, about how to not go looking for a fight. That should be a book title or something like that.
Sure.
And how you should focus in on those members of your local church and focus in on the people who are attending and loving them well and sharing Christ with them and praying for them and hoping that they would come to Christ as well too. If you appreciate Josh and I's focus on the local church and want to engage us more on the sociables, if you will, ask us a question, send us a DM, episode ideas, stuff you guys want to hear or see on different content. You can follow us on the sociables. Like I said, you can follow us on the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, or these always infamous sociable formerly known as Twitter X. God, it just sounds like a drug name. It is a drug name.
He's
but
on X.
Like... Anyway, you can follow us at all of those sociable platforms at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support our endeavors even further, if you will.
Jack, I would like, before I do that, I'd like to ask you permission. Okay. Can I do a little personal plug?
I guess, sure. I don't know what this personal plug is.
That's fine. Okay. No, it's nothing weird. I have a new single out.
Oh, that's right. I've heard this.
Yeah.
Dude, it's very, I'll just say this.
Oh yeah, okay. Tell
very
me.
Very 80s rock ballad.
Let's go, dude. That's exactly what I was going for.
I like the vibe.
Do
I
you
like
really? Dude, I was so hoping you would. So, okay, a little personal plug. I don't like self-promoting a whole lot, but I really liked how this project turned out. The song is called Worldly Wise Man. And it's obviously, you know, my love of Pilgrim's Progress. It's a song from the perspective of the worldly wise man. Mm-hmm. And you can get it on Apple Music and Spotify. It's on my YouTube page as well. But I really appreciate you guys. Check it out. Just type in Worldly Wise Man Josh Loftus. It'll show up. Give it a listen. Download it. Stream it. Share it with your friends. I'd love to hear what you guys think. I really liked how it turned out. I'm getting back into music, which has been a huge joy for me. And what I'm finding is that I am genreless when it comes to my music, because this is the second single that I've put out that's on Spotify and Apple. And the first one was a song that I wrote for my wife. It's also 80s, but it's like more, it's like Depeche Mode. It's like, it's super soft and like it's like Duran Duran or something like that. Mm. But this one, like Jack said, it's 80s rock ballad. I'll end this episode with a little snippet of it, but I'd really appreciate it if you guys go Spotify, Apple Music, check out Worldly Wise Man, new single. That would be really, really cool for me. I would really appreciate that. But as Jack said, we're on YouTube. Head on over there, like, comment, subscribe, ring the bell for notifications. That'd be really great. Rate this episode, share it with a friend, give us some 5 stars on Apple podcasts. Last but not least, join the Patreon. We have a Patreon, all access. We call it the Podluck, and for $5 a month,
exclusive,
that's it. You could have bonus episodes. This episode comes early. You get exclusive rights to the Reformatory chat that's on there. It's a lot of fun. We share a bunch of picks and have it. It's a grand old time. It's really fun. You get to head on over there and hear Jack and I talk about my Arizona vacation, mm-hmm. and you know, a whole bunch of other cool stuff.
My Spokane trip that we'll probably
Spokane
talk about.
Trip. Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Whether or not he got broken into this time, we'll see. Gosh. We'll see. You know, you got to join the Patreon to find out, right?
He's got
But for $5 a month, you too could become a Patreon supporter, and our pledge to use that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. Enjoy this little snippet of Worldly Wise Man, my new single, out on all platforms. And we will catch you on the next episode of The Reformatory.